Good to see everybody. And okay, church, we're going to get into it. We're going to get into it pretty quick because there's a good amount to cover today, and I want to be able to cover all of those things. And for those of you who don't know, if for those of you who are new, visiting for the first time, all of that stuff, we are currently doing this sermon series called The Threads of Discipleship. And today what I want to do is I want to give us an overview or kind of a big picture of this entire sermon series. That's why there's a lot to get into today. All right, and we're going to do that by looking at this key passage of discipleship from the Gospel of John. All right, and so that will be from John chapter 15. And so let's dive in. Let's take a look at the word. John chapter 15, it reads like this. Now, we're going to be spending our time in this word, so if you want to pull that out in front of you, there's pew Bibles around you. This is the scripture that we're going to be in. And it reads like this, and Jesus is speaking here, starting at verse 1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain," or another way of translating that Greek word is abide in me. Jesus saying, abide in me, remain in me. Verse 5, it continues, and Jesus says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." And our final slide today, starting verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and so that your joy may be complete." This is the word of the Lord. And this is the passage that we're looking at today. And so I'm glad that we're looking at this passage today after the previous sermon series we looked at because, right, we had just finished our sermon series not too long ago on the Gospel of John. It feels a little long ago, but it wasn't that long ago, right? And I think that the Gospel of John has a lot to tell us about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. The Gospel of John has a lot to tell us about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And the passage that we just looked at, I think it lies at the core, it lies at the heart of what the Gospel of John is trying to tell us about discipleship. In fact, the Regent Professor, Joshua Coutts, he goes one step further and he says all of discipleship, every single aspect, every single component of discipleship can be summarized by just one word in this passage. And that is the word to remain or to abide. That our call to discipleship is all about abiding in Christ or remaining in Christ. So, what does it mean to abide in Christ? Well, let's think about that by starting by looking at the image this passage is giving us here. Right? In our passage, you have Christ as the true vine, you have the disciples as the branches, and you have God as the gardener, or as some other biblical translations say, the vine dresser. Now, in general, right, a vine is what connects the branches to nutrients. A vine is what connects branches to the energy and the life that they need. And so part of the desire of any gardener is to make sure that a vine's branches are connected well to the life of the vine. And I think that's a huge part of God's desire for us. God's desire is to tap us into this divine and full life through Christ the vine. Now, you know, there are often two words that are used for life in the Greek. These two words are bios, that can mean life in the Greek, and the word zoe, that can also mean life in the Greek. But they're quite different words. Bios is a word for life in the Greek that means to exist, right, or to be physically alive. Whereas zoe in the Greek, it's a word for life that means life in its fullest and most complete sense. So, for example, when you do the grouse grind for the first time in 6 years, and you finally make it to your top, make it to the top, right? And your friend turns around and asks you, "Are you alive?" Your friend is talking about bios. Like, are you alive? Like, are you existing right now? But when you're at the top of Grouse Mountain and you take a look at that view and you think about everything that you've did and everything that you've accomplished and you look out and you say, I feel so alive. What you are talking about is Zoe life. You feel full of life. You feel invigorated, right? Or another example, you know, when you try to take a flight, a long flight, and your flight gets delayed, and someone beside you says, "Ugh, well, I guess that's life." That person is talking about bios, right? I guess that's part of existing. I guess that's part of living. But when you get upgraded to first class, right? And you finally sit in that seat, and it reclines so far, and they're offering you champagne, and you say something like, "Man, this is the life." What you are talking about is Zoe life, right? Do you see the difference there? And here's the thing. In the Gospel of John, whenever Jesus says, "I am the bread of life, I am living water, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus always uses the word Zoe. Jesus is saying he is the source of the fullest kind of life, the most complete kind of life. And in this passage, Jesus is saying he is the source of life to the full. And so abide in him. Abide in his life. You know, church, I believe today that there are all sorts of things that people abide in because people think they are a source of life. All sorts of things that we might abide in because we think it is a source of life. Right? And I think one of the ways that you can actually tell what you are abiding in is that when life gets hard, when life gets difficult and challenging, you can look to see what your life preserver is. Right? One of the ways that you can tell what you are abiding in is when life gets hard or difficult, look to see what your life preserver is. And what I mean by that is look for what you hold on to. Right? Look for what you bind yourself to keep yourself afloat. Look for what you hold on to that you believe that will keep things going. Look for where you go to solve your difficult problems, where you go to give yourself relief in the midst of difficulty. Right? It could be money. Money could be the first thing that we think about going to. It could be a particular relationship. It could be yourself. Right? It could be relying on your own intelligence or your own hustle. But whatever it is, whatever that life preserver is, whatever the thing is that you hold on to when things get difficult and hard, that could be a place where you abide in for life. And I think what Jesus is saying in this passage, he's saying in all things, in all situations, whether it's difficult or hard or easy or whatever the case is, remain in me, abide in me. Other things will promise you life, but they will not deliver you life. In the end, they'll leave you dry. In the end, they will leave you thirsting. In the end, they will eventually wither you out. But I am the true vine. I am the vine that will truly fill you with the fullness of life. So let's recap, right? In his grace, God the gardener wants to connect us to this Zoe kind of life, this lasting, deep, sustaining source of life through Jesus Christ, through the true vine. And our call as disciples is to remain in his word, right? Remain in his love, remain in his commands, remain in him. Are we tracking with the picture this passage is putting down so far? Yeah? And so let's keep going because this passage is not has more to tell us about discipleship, right? And because in this passage, we also read and we also learn that the gardener's desire is not only just for us branches to remain in the vine. That's not the only desire for the gardener, and that's not the only desire for the vine. This passage tells us that as we abide in Christ, the gardener's desire, the gardener's hope, is that we, as the branches, begin to bear good fruit. You know, the book of Galatians, it gives us an idea of what this kind of fruit is, because what is this fruit? What is this fruit of abiding in Christ, right? And in the book of Galatians, it talks about something called the fruit of the Spirit. And Galatians says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. But I want you guys to know that this is not just any kind of love. This is not just some random kind of joy. This is not some kind of out there kind of feeling of peace. This is actually the love of Christ, that we are to grow in the love of Christ, the joy of Christ, the peace of Christ, because watermelon vines bear watermelons, right? Grape vines bear grapes, and Christ vines bear Christ. So the desire of the gardener and the vine is that as we abide in Christ, we will begin to grow in the love of Christ himself. As we abide in Christ, we begin to grow in the joy of Christ himself, that we begin to grow in the character of Christ himself. And so the fruit of discipleship, it has a lot to do with the development of our character, the building up of who we are. It's about growing from being selfish and greedy to having the love of Christ well up inside us, right? It's about having discontentment and being in this place of this constant discontentment to having the joy of Christ meet us where we are. It's about being filled with anxiety and growing to have the peace of Christ invade us, right? It's about being impulsive and only caring about our immediate desires to having the self-control of Christ, and so on and so forth and so on. And so for the Christian, discipleship is about abiding deeply in the person of Christ, deeply in the vine, so that God might grow and develop the character of Christ in us. And it's through this that verse 7 says that it is in this abiding, it is in this growing of the character of Christ in us that brings glory to God. Right? It is in the bearing of this fruit that shows the world that we are his followers, shows the world that we are his disciples. But so I hope that we're beginning to see that all of this bearing fruit, all of this stuff, all of discipleship, it starts and centers around abiding, remaining in Christ. And so this is what we did as a Tapestry Church staff. We looked at all of these books. We looked through all of these passages. We looked at the biblical text. And the question that we asked was this. The question that we brought to bear on these books and on the biblical text was this. As disciples of Christ, how are ways that we can abide in Christ? What are the different ways that we can abide in Christ? And we found a lot of different answers. We looked through a lot of different books, found a lot of different answers, but they all kind of gravitated around six key areas, six different threads, if you will, that help bind us to Christ. And so what I want to do now is to give us a quick overview of these six different threads that help bind us to Christ. And we have a picture of that right now, the different threads of discipleship, right? And so the first thread that I want to talk about, or maybe we'll talk about the first two threads, the first thread is about allowing the Holy Spirit to change us through the character, into the character of Christ. And this is the thread, Christ within me. And the second thread is allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us into the mission of Christ. And this is the thread, Christ before me. So, Christ within me. Christ within me says that we abide in Christ by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us and change us. And I think this image of Christ as the vine gives us such a wonderful, such a great picture of what our relationship with the Holy Spirit is all about. Because the only possible way for a branch to produce fruit is through a kind of transfer of power through the vine. Yes? Do you hear what I'm saying? Like, the vine, for a branch to produce fruit, the vine has to send this power into the branch, has to send this life into the branch, and that is what allows the branch to bear fruit. And in the same way, Christ sends his power, Christ sends his love into us through his Spirit, by his Spirit, to dwell in us so that the Spirit might grow in us the fruit of the Spirit, or the character of Christ. And you know, the Holy Spirit does not only change us, but the Holy Spirit also leads us. That's what the biblical text tells us. The Holy Spirit changes us, grows in us the fruit of the Spirit, but also leads us. And one of the key places that the Holy Spirit leads us into is the mission of Christ. And that is the thread, Christ before us, right? That is a thread of discipleship that tells us that we abide in Christ by following the Holy Spirit into the mission of Christ. You know, church, before Jesus ascended into heaven, before he went up to sit on that throne, he gave his disciples, he gave us a mission. He told us to go and make disciples of all nations, to baptize them, to teach them. And today, through his Spirit, Jesus is still alive Jesus is still active in his mission of making disciples. In many ways, Jesus still goes before us and says, follow me. Follow me into this. Follow me into making more disciples. And so as we engage in Christ's mission of discipleship, the Spirit will lead us into places where he is already present. The Spirit will lead us into places where he is already working. Whenever we participate in Jesus' call to make disciples, we are joining with the Spirit in conversations and situations where the Spirit has already gone before us and is already doing a work. And when we join with the Spirit into a place where the Spirit is already working, already doing a work, we grow in intimacy with Christ. But and so these are the first two threads of discipleship, right? Christ within me and Christ before me. And it's about growing our relationship with Christ by allowing the Holy Spirit to change us and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us. And I think these two threads, they both tell us something very important. They tell us something very foundational about what it means to abide in Christ. And that is, abiding in Christ is not about your own power to change yourself. Abiding in Christ is not about your own ability to change others or to convert others or to change the situation, right? It's not about your power. It's not about your ability. Abiding in Christ is about saying, Jesus, I need you. I need you in my life. I need your help. I need more and more of you in me. I need you to change me. I need you to grow in me something good, in me and around me, because apart from you, like the scripture we just looked at says, I can do nothing. And so I need you. That's a huge part of what it means to abide in Christ. And so if our first two threads have to do with abiding in Christ through the Spirit, I would say that our next two threads have to do with about abiding in Christ through the church. And I think that's a really good thing. Because disciples of Jesus aren't called to just follow Jesus alone. Praise the Lord. But instead, we have been given the gift of one another, the gift of the church, to help us follow him and abide in him. And the third thread of discipleship tells us that it tells us that we can abide in Christ through the help of those beside us. So that is the thread, Christ beside us. And I think that's part of what it means to belong to a church. Right? It's that we help one another, that we encourage one another, that we challenge one another to abide and grow in Christ together as a church. And we do that through things like fellowship or small groups or serving together or worshiping together on Sundays. We abide in Christ more through the fellowship of one another. And you know, church, we do not just have the help of one another to abide and grow in Christ. We also have the help of all of these disciples that came before us. And that's the fourth thread of discipleship. The fourth thread of discipleship is abiding in Christ through the help of those that came before us. And that is the thread, Christ behind me. And so the picture that I have of this, the memory that came into my mind when I thought about this thread was the end of high school. And, you know, for me, the end of high school was a very tough time. It was a time where I was feeling down often. I was feeling discouraged all of the time. I don't know if I'd call it depression, but I would say that something was definitely not right with me. And, you know, during that time, there were brothers and sisters that came alongside me, brothers and sisters in Christ that came with me and helped me abide. They were there for me. They encouraged me to stick with church, to continue to go to church. They spoke hard truth in my life when I needed it. But there was also this book that really helped me abide in Christ. There was also this book that really helped me grow in my faith during that time. And it was a book called Disappointment with God by a man by the name of Philip Yancey. It's a bit of a classic. I would recommend it to you if you haven't read it yet. But it was a book called Disappointment with God. I remember reading through this book during this difficult time and just reading like all of this wisdom in there. All of this encouragement in the pages of this book. And as I was reading this book, I remember thinking, as I was looking at all the footnotes that Yancey had put down, how rich this book was, how full it was with the testimony of others, with the wisdom of others, with the experience of so many Spirit-led people, so many disciples that have come before me, that I'm following in the faith, right? And I think that's the thing about church. Church is so much bigger than just us. Church is so much bigger than just this place. Christ has been leading and guiding and building up his church long before we got here, and he will be building it up long after we're gone. And two of the ways that we can abide and grow in Christ is to, number one, make ourselves a part of a local church community. That is a key way that we can abide in church. And number two is to dive into the greater foundational history, dive into this greater testimony, the greater wisdom of the Christ-led church that came before us. So those are two other threads of discipleship. And if threads three and four have to do with abiding in Christ through the church, then I would say our final two threads have to do with abiding in Christ through how we live in the world. Our final two threads have to do with abiding in Christ through how we live in the world. You know, one of the ways I think that we can bind ourselves to Christ, abide in Christ through how we live into the world, is by developing these spiritual disciplines or deep spiritual habits in our lives. That is the thread, Christ beneath me. Right? This is the thread of things like making sure we have quiet time, participating in Sabbath, memorizing scripture, having devotions, right? And let me tell you what this thread reminds me of. You know, life with Jesse, Jesse is my wife, life in Jesse has always been full. I've been very thankful, very blessed that I have a very full life with my spouse, with Jesse. And when Kyla came into our lives, another blessing, life got even more full. Life got even fuller. And you know, there's always something to get done. There's always something to attend to. There's always something to figure out. There's always some place that we need to get to. And let me tell you, when it is busy, it is easy to give your spouse your last instead of your best. Is that not true? When things get really busy, it is easy to just talk about what needs to be done and not talk about how we are doing or not look and work at building up our relationship with one another. And so in the midst of our busyness of life and with our little Kyla, Jesse and I quickly realized that we need to be disciplined. We need to be intentional about setting apart time for one another. We need to build up habits in our life that keep our relationships strong and make time for us to love one another. And that's what spiritual disciplines are all about, yeah? They're about rooting ourselves in habits and routines that make time for Jesus in our life. They're about rooting ourselves in habits and routines that help nourish our love for him. And so that's one way that we could abide in Christ through how we live in the world, by building up and developing these spiritual habits and these routines. But the other way I think that we can abide in Christ through how we live in the world is by living with integrity in the world, right? It's by living out of our Christ-like character that the Holy Spirit is growing in us. It's by being willing to be Christ's hands and feet to the world. And this is the thread of Christ through me. This is the thread of loving our neighbor. This is the thread of serving others. This is a thread of standing up for justice and what's right. It's a thread of caring for the poor and outcast with our lives. And it's because how we live in our homes and how we live in our communities and how we live in our jobs, it can grow the presence of Christ both in us and around us. And so, okay, church, that is a quick look at our threads, right? It is Christ within me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ behind me, Christ beneath me, Christ through me. We could turn it into a dance if we want to. If that is helpful, we can make it into like a Macarena type thing, but those are our threads, right? And in a way, all of these threads, they're all tied together, aren't they? They're all kind of interconnected. They're all kind of inseparable from one another. It's hard to tug on one thread without pulling on the other threads, right? Because, for example, the threads of the Spirit, they will lead us and they will change us to love the church. Threads of the Spirit will lead us and change us to live well in the world. The threads of the church will help us to walk in the Spirit. They will help us to follow Christ in the world well. How we live well in the world, it can help build up the church also. The threads of how we live in the world can also help us depend and rely on the Spirit. All of these threads are interconnected in a very profound way, I think. And so all of these interconnected threads, I think they help form a fabric for us, a tapestry, if you will. Or a blanket, if you prefer, right? But it becomes a kind of blanket that helps us abide in Christ, kind of blanket that we can rest in. Something that allows us to rest in his goodness and grace. And that's the thing about these threads. I think that's the thing about discipleship. It's not about all these things that we have to do. It's not about performing. It's about opening ourselves up to change. Opening ourselves up to allowing Christ and the Spirit to change us. It's about abiding in Christ. It's about resting in him and being changed by that. Because there's no way that you can grow a connection with Christ and not be changed by it. There's no way that the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, can be inside you and you can be following it and it can be leading you and guiding you and you not be changed by that. Abiding in Christ, resting in Him, it will change how you live. It will change your desires. It will change how you see things. And so discipleship, it's about opening ourselves up to change and allowing the Holy Spirit to grow the character of Christ in us and through Christ the Vine. And I'll end it at this, but church, I want to acknowledge the thing about change is seldom easy, is it? Change is seldom comfortable. Change will compel us to share the gospel when we'd rather play it safe. Change will push us to serve one another when we'd rather sit at home and watch Netflix. And so allowing God to grow the fruit of change in us, it can even lead to a kind of pruning. It could even lead to a kind of cutting off of parts of us that aren't being fruitful. And I think in the midst of all of that, in the midst of that big picture, I think what we need to do is not only rest in Christ, but rest in the promise in this passage. And the promise in this passage is abiding in Christ does not only connect us to the full life of Christ, but it is also a pathway to joy. Abiding in Christ is our pathway to joy. Jesus says in verse 11, he tells us to abide in him. He tells us all of these things so that our joy may be made complete. And so my prayer for you, church, is that you might abide in him a little more this week than you did last week. Because the more you abide in Christ the Vine, the more the Holy Spirit will change your character. And the more you allow the Holy Spirit to change your character, the more your connection to Christ and your desire to abide in him will grow. And the more you engage in this process, in this cycle of discipleship, the more you will find the continual budding of life and joy on your very branches. And so let's pray for those things now. Heavenly Lord and gracious Father, we thank you that you are the vine and that Jesus, your Son, is the vine, and that in your grace, your desire is to connect us to the vine. And I just pray that we can remain in your love, remain in who you are, remain in your grace, remain in your peace, that you can teach us what that looks like. You can be gracious with us when we fail to do that, but that by the power of your Spirit, that we can grow more and more in our love and our desire to abide in you, so that you may grow more and more the character of Christ inside of us, so that we can abide in you more and more, and so that good fruit might continue to, might grow in who we are. Lord, we thank you that you would even grow things, beautiful things, wonderful things, amazing things, the character of your very Son in us, who we don't have it all together. We are broken in many ways. We are searching in so many ways. But you want to make a home in us so that you might grow in us something good and draw us into this beautiful relationship. So Lord, I just pray that we can praise your name for that and rejoice in that today. All of these things we pray in your Son's name. Amen.